You're listening to the Leonard LoPate Show on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart, in for Leonard LoPate. Groundhog Day, a Broadway musical adapted from the beloved movie of the same name, is about Phil Connors, a grumpy news weatherman doomed to live the same day over and over again. On Tuesday night at the August Wilson Theater, Bill Murray went to see Andy Carl in the role he'd originated. And then on Wednesday night, in a case of life imitating art, Bill Murray returned and did it again. And so joining us now to talk about the movie, the play, and the inescapable experience of having been through it all before is Bill Murray himself. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. It's nice to be awake at this hour. Really nice.
At 1:22 in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's all right. It's kind of upside down. I feel like I've been a little upside down living. And you know how it is. Sometimes you don't know what day it is, and then you don't know what time it is. And there's a kind of a funny joke that was in the New Yorker once, a cartoon about a guy who didn't know the day or the time and realized he didn't know what month it was either. So,
well, I am glad you're here no matter what day or time or month it is. So Tuesday was the first time you've seen the musical. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And were you hesitant about going to see it?
Well, I never sort of like lit a fire under myself to go. And then I spoke with the creator of Groundhog Day, the man whose idea it was, Danny Rubin. And he said, you know, they'd love to have you come and see the show. So I just thought, well, that sounds like a nice way of putting it. I went with my brother Brian and a couple other folks, and we went to see the show on Tuesday night. And we were knocked out by it, just knocked out by it. I was really not expecting what happened to me watching the show. You know, I thought, I'm very fond of the movie. I think it's one of the, you know, best things I've ever done, and I think it's a great American movie. People love it. They're very fond of it. So I didn't, you know, you kind of expect to be maybe disappointed, or maybe it'll never, you know, you think it'll be, oh, just sort of okay. You
right.
know? And it was far better than anything we expected. We were just knocked out, really.
So, Bill, let me ask you this. Why were you so knocked out? And is it true that you cried watching?
Well, I'll answer those in order. I mean, I was knocked out because I was really brought to the point of the story. You know, the performance, the musical really put me in the presence of the point of the movie, the premise of the film. And yes, I did. I cried. I tried to cry a couple times, because being put up against that is really sort of what, at my best, I think I'm supposed to be doing, or all of us, any of us could be doing, is trying to be living our lives as well as we can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just seeing that and the beauty of it, and the execution was really, you know, I wasn't prepared for that, because it just keeps coming at you.
Uh-huh.
It's a really well made show. It's directed very well. There's a fellow named his name is, rhymes with Fuss. Marchus is his name. Matthew Marchus, I think his name.
Mm-hmm.
He directed it. The staging is really great. The actors are really great. I'm really sensitive about actors that are hammy, and I just want to like throw something at them from the audience. And these actors are so disciplined and so professional that they come this incredible ensemble. Now, obviously, there's a couple of lead parts, and those parts were incredibly just poignant and touching, and really speaking the truth of the story. And
so,
I was really knocked out. I keep using that term, but I was really touched from head to toe by it.
So so what about Andy Carl? Did he do, I'm going to say, your character, because you originated it, but did he do Phil Connors justice?
Yes, he absolutely did do Phil Connors justice, and more. He brings something different to it. I mean, when you have to sing the story, that's a challenge, you know. When you have to sing, like if you had to sing your show today,
oh my God,
you'd be in trouble, right?
Yeah, I certainly would be.
This fella sang his show, and I'm told that he tore his ACL like 3 days before the show opened and couldn't even open the show. And I can imagine, because you have to throw because the day starts over and over again in the story, you have to come with this strong, like, as if yesterday, you know, you've got to start strong every single day. And there's a you've got to make a point every single day when you wake up. And it takes a lot of energy. I could see where you could be exhausted doing that show. I felt when I did the film, it was very tiring to come. And it wasn't like anything was rolling from the day before, ever. Mm-hmm. Because every scene is, you got to start from scratch every single time. And so he had to start from scratch every single time. And he's got all kinds of, there's all kinds of physical things he's got to do, and beats and shtick and things that you've got to collect and make work in a precise timing, mm-hmm. as well as sing well enough to make people understand what you're saying, as well as to touch them with the sort of the powerful music. The music is really good. The guy, I gotta remember his name. His name is Minchum is his name. Mm-hmm. He's the fellow that did the lyrics and the music, and it's really good. It's really good. The first song, when they come out on the stage, you just feel it and you go, oh my gosh, the music already got me. The music's already, you know, the music has already landed in my belly. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps coming because it's by the design of the show, that it's this repetitive moment. That music keeps pounding at you, you know, like a Ravel or something.
Uh-huh.
That just keeps coming at you with a theme. It just really kept coming.
Hey, Bill.
The guy did a really great job.
Bill, did you find yourself sitting in the audience watching the music? Did you find yourself reciting the lines, reciting Phil Connors' lines as they were being performed by Andy Carl?
Well, I didn't find myself reciting them, but I found it echoing, like in my belly, you know. I found it, like when he'd say it, I'd go, ba 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 ba. It would just sort of, you know, it's like he uses the line jinx sometimes, where, you know, when people say the same thing at the same time.
Right.
And I could see it was like that, it was happening to me through the whole show. So I had this kind of crazy, bubbling, bouncing, vibrating thing going on where, you know, the intention of what those lines meant in the movie was echoed in the musical, and it worked, and it worked again, you know. So it was really, I felt really good about what we had done, and that it was something that was good enough that you could do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you could, that someone could say, without being overly ambitious, we could do this idea. And it really is that the idea of the story is so strong, it could be done again. And someone told me years ago that the lyricists of Broadway were always challenged by this story, that somehow they thought that this story would be a real challenge, a really interesting, difficult one to pull off. And I always was waiting for it. I was thinking, well, who the hell's going to do it?
You know, right.
Who's really good and really going to do it? And this fella, Tim Minchum, did it. And it's really... it really hums. It's really beautiful.
So when you went to the show Tuesday night and you went back Wednesday night, you went back and met the cast. Was it on Tuesday night, right?
Yes, sir.
So what advice, if any, did you give the cast after you saw the show?
Well, I complimented them because I really was so happy that they were so respectful of the real art of acting and performing, that no one was out for themselves. They were really going together. They played together as a group. And I was also aware that there was a lot of adrenaline. I know that when, I remember there used to be like a savage critic from the New York Times named John Simon, who could be really wicked. You know, he could really roughhouse a crew, you know, a cast. And I remember when I heard he was coming to our show, we all kind of burned like a different kind of gasoline that night. There was just a different kind of performance you put in that had a lot of adrenaline in it. And I remember I couldn't wear that shirt again. Like, that shirt, I wrecked it because it almost had like blood and bones in it. You know, it was like someone had died in it because I worked so hard in them. And I felt that they'd thrown a lot of adrenaline out. I think they knew that Brian and I were going to be there, and Danny, we were all going to be watching. So people were, you know, they weren't going to give anything less than everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that, and that's a lot of work to do however many shows they do, a week, 8 or 10 or whatever they do.
A lot.
And to do two, they do a lot of shows, and they do a couple times a week. And that's a certain kind of thing that's hard to do. And I just, I suggested that, you know, if you're not really sure what to do, sometimes you can just sing to the person next to you, and that person will feel you, and they will sing to the person next to them, and that thing will move and have a different kind of a power that will be just as effective. I didn't say it like that, but that will have a different kind of a power. And when I went back to see the show the second night, I could tell that someone had heard that, and that was the way the show sounded. Huh. And from the first song, it was somehow more beautiful to me, that they really, the real beauty of their sort of love for each other came through their voices, you know, came through their spirit, came through, and and the audience, although they weren't as jazzed as the night before when there'd been all the adrenaline, the first act didn't have that kind of like roar at the end of the first act. When the story starts to kick in and the man makes progress and begins to live a more full life, the roars, the change, the difference was extraordinary. The difference in the two nights was extraordinary.
Bill, is that why you went back a second night to see if they listened to your advice?
No, I don't think so. Although I'm sure I thought of that when I walked in. More of me was thinking, am I the kind of jerk that just has to go and go to his show like two nights in a row? You know, but I really wanted to see it again. Partly because I may have wanted to see if it were any different after talking. We spent a long time talking after the first show, but that wasn't why I went. There were so many reasons, and I didn't know why. I really couldn't put my finger on it, and I almost didn't go. I kept through the whole day. I kept saying to people, "You think I should go do this again?" I thought it was kind of a funny thought because I had the thought last night talking to Danny Rue. I said, "You know, I feel like going to see it again tomorrow."
Just
and
like
we all laughed.
A real life Groundhog Day.
Yeah, exactly. So it felt like a funny thing to do, and I acknowledged that seemed funny. But I don't know why I wanted to go again. I couldn't put my finger on why. And I almost didn't go right up until like 20 after 7, you know, because it was a matinee day. The show was at 8. And I really thought, well, am I going to go? And I walked up to the box office and they said, well, someone left a ticket for you, you know. And I said, well, they said they left me too. And I said, well, let me just see if I can go out on the street and find someone. And I couldn't really find anyone to drag into the theater.
Wait a minute. Bill Murray could not find someone on the streets of New York to go see a musical with him?
Well, everyone outdoors seemed to be already have a ticket or going somewhere else or on their way. Usually I'm pretty good about finding someone. It's like finding someone that could use $5. You can usually find it. But I couldn't find anyone. And then I sort of started getting a little attention outdoors. And I thought, well, maybe I better go sit down and calm down, you know. So I pulled myself together and went in and sat down. And I sat by myself. And it was okay because, I get to stretch out a little bit. But
did you cry again?
Yes, I did. And I guess I'm just a slobber hound. You know, I didn't realize that. But if it's done correctly, and it was, it's art, you know, and it has the same effect every time see it.
Did you cry in the same places?
Yeah.
Or in different places?
Yeah, I know I cried in the same places, and there were other things. There were other things because people performed them differently. Mm-hmm. You know, there were some things that were different. I really enjoyed the female lead. Her name is Barrett Doss. I guess it's Doss, not Dose, but Doss. And I really enjoyed her more the second day. I enjoyed Andy Carl more the second day. Mm-hmm. And the fellow that plays Ned Ryerson, the ridiculous Ned Ryerson, John Sanders is his name. He was really better the second day. And his solo song at the end of near the end of the show just stunned the audience. The audience. They were really, it really got him that night because he was one person I spoke with a while. Not that I know so much, but I felt like that particular part of, you know, I have people do Ned Ryerson to me all the time, you know, just hundreds of times a year people do it to me. So I'm always aware of this man, you know, this guy is alive in my life, you know. He's like a relative whose picture's on the wall. He's there in my life. So we spent some time talking, and he really sang. He sang the hell out of it on the Wednesday night. He really sang the hell out of it. And since I'm mentioning people that sang, well, there's a really beautiful song that the lyricist mentioned should get some credit for. It's called "I'm Being Nancy." I think that's the name of the song. Mm-hmm. And there's a girl named Rebecca Falconberry who's sort of like the sort of the hot object of Punxsutawney. You know, if you can be the hot object dressed sort of like in a fur hat and, oh, you know, like down clothing, she does it. She's very attractive. But this song is very, it comes, I did not see this one coming. And it opens the second act.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this song really, really gets to people because they don't see it coming. I love when people don't see it coming and they don't see this song coming. You know, I'm not sure I've ever, and I guess I've seen musicals where people have tried to do the kind of something like a "woe is me" number, or a little lost me, but this one was better than anyone I ever saw, and everyone sings really well.
And Bill,
everyone sings really well, but she sang it really well. It's a very powerful song, and to open the second act with it, usually it's the kind of thing you put somewhere. You know, the end of the first act,
right,
or somewhere, the 840 number, whatever. But it just comes out, and it comes out of nowhere. Exactly. Right.
Bill Murray, the song comes from out of nowhere. You're going to see the show Tuesday night, came from out of nowhere. Going to see it Wednesday night, came from out of nowhere. And having you for 10 more minutes than we had anticipated is came out of nowhere. And it's such a great treat. I'm so thrilled to have the chance to talk with you about the new Broadway musical adaptation of the movie you originated and made famous, Groundhog Day. Bill Murray, thanks for being here.
You're welcome, Jonathan, and I'm glad you got a day's work. I'm glad that Leonard got a day off. That guy works too much.
He works really hard. Thanks, Bill.
And please say hello.
I will.
Thanks for talking.
Will do.